Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Hey, it wasn't too long ago we went to, well, we've been in New Orleans a couple of times recently. Not the most recent, but one time before that.
Yes.
I got through presenting some things. Do you remember one of the first questions that came up?
This sounds like business stuff with no Jesus, basically. That was the gist of her.
Yeah. And so we had to kind of say, well, we're working off of a foundation of biblical truth, prayer, Word of God. And I just kind of want to remind, because we're a practical ministry, advocacy, and we talk about a lot of practical stuff, but that does not mean that we do not have the solid understanding of the Word of God, prayer, biblical truth as a foundation of who we are. The reason I'm saying that is we're going to talk about becoming a highly effective pastor. Now, you go to the biblical description of some of the most effective pastors, Acts 6:4, and we will dedicate our time to prayer
and the ministry of the word.
So I understand that that is the biblical foundation.
And it needs to start there.
And it needs to start.
We're saying that. We're advocates for that.
And we're moving from the foundational issue. Every now and then, I'll talk to William Vanderblumen, who is our sponsor. Vanderblumen Search Group is our sponsor. And he'll talk about certain characteristics of pastors and other staff that do well in churches. And I don't say, William, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe in prayer? I just know that he's coming from that presupposition and that foundation.
And they get candidates who also just work from that same
foundation. And so when we talk today about how to become a highly effective pastor, we are launching from that presupposition. We are launching from that foundation. We are not... If you're not a pastor of prayer, if you're not a pastor of the Word of God, these are all meaningless.
Yeah.
This is from that foundation. I don't want to be defensive, but I just want to be very clear that that is where we are beginning.
All right. Number one, how to become a highly effective pastor. They have genuine enthusiasm.
Do you know the Greek root for the word enthusiasm?
No, but I bet you're going to tell me.
I'm going to tell you. It comes from two words in the Greek, en, which means
in.
Yeah. Theos, which means
God.
So in theos, enthusiasm means that you are in God, God is in you, and therefore you should have joy. You should be someone who is exuberant. Enthusiasm does not mean that you're bouncing off the wall and that you've just had four Starbucks venti mochas. It means that there is a joy within you that is evident. It means that you love what you do. It means when people talk to you that they can understand that you really believe and are enthusiastic about what you do. And that is something that you can try to contrive, but it just becomes an emotional exercise. But if you truly love what you do, that enthusiasm will show through. Here's the reality about my work at Lifeway. I have some bad days every now and then. Mm-hmm. You've seen those bad days.
Yeah, been a part of a few of them.
Yeah,
not the cause of a few of them, hopefully, but
well, not all of them. But here's how I feel. I don't feel that I get up in the morning and go to work.
No, so I'm here. I've told you that.
I feel like it's just part of the joy of serving that God has allowed me to do, and the pastors who are really, really effective. They will have tough days. They will have Mondays where they wonder whether or not they should continue their ministry or their work. And I say that almost tongue-in-cheek, though it's true. I'm not talking about a cheerleader. It could be someone that is very quiet, but they have a passion, they have a drive, they have an energy which says, I really am grateful for what I do. That's contagious. And some of the most effective pastors we have seen had that genuine enthusiasm.
You know who I think of whenever you describe that?
Who?
Two people come to mind. One of them was, we had on campus today, Danny Aiken.
Yeah, Danny Aiken.
Our friend over at Southeastern Seminary.
Yeah, he is just genuine. And he's enthusiastic about everything he does.
Another one is Ronnie Floyd.
Yeah.
Ronnie is, you cannot be around Ronnie for 5 minutes without knowing just how enthusiastic he is about the gospel in the local church.
That is exactly right. And intense about it, too. Intense enthusiasm. And those are two very, very great examples. And we were recently in a church where you formerly were a member and your wife served on staff. And Ryan Whitley is another good example of someone that has that genuine enthusiasm. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about three persons. One's a seminary president. Two of them are pastors who I think by most estimations, have done it very well serving the Lord in their places of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, genuine enthusiasm.
And the enthusiasm plays a big part in that.
Exactly.
Number two, they are great listeners.
Yeah. Listening is difficult for A-type personalities. Many of the better pastors are A-type personalities, but it means that you have not only a willingness, but a desire to hear people about. When you're around these pastors, they want to focus on you. They want you to know that they are really in tune. Have you ever talked to someone where they're looking over the shoulder and they're looking to get past, or they're looking at their...
You're calling me out now.
Yeah, they're looking at their iPhone or something like that. You wonder if they're really tuned in or not.
I've heard that from my wife before.
Yeah. So... It's very obvious that they're focused on you. They want to hear your stories. They're not just ready to move on to the next person or the next thing. They make you feel important because they genuinely care about you and they want to listen to your story.
How do you develop into being a good listener if you realize that you're not?
Do it.
Just do it.
It is a something that comes by habit, by exercise, by intentionality.
Intentionality.
Yeah. Just start listening. I have historically been a poor listener in many settings, but one of them specifically is with my wife. And she'll call me out on it.
Yeah.
And she'll say, "You're not listening to me, are you?" And you know what I usually say? Huh?
Huh. I'm the same way. And I get the same comment from my wife.
And so I have to be intentional about putting the phone down, smartphone down. I put it aside or I put it on another piece of furniture. I look her in the eye and I listen. And I have to be more intentional about it. And when I do that, I learn to do it even more.
It reminds me of Cannon telling you to, Rad, put your phone down.
Oh, you're talking about my grandson that just made me feel pitiful when he wanted to play with me. And he said, "Now, Rad, will you put your phone down?" Rad is the name he calls me as a grandfather. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Jonathan. I really feel good now.
Okay, sorry. Number three, their identity is not their vocation. I think this is a huge one.
Yeah. The identity of a pastor should not be the pastor. The identity of a pastor should be Christ.
Yeah.
Their vocation and what they do to serve Christ is that they are pastors at that particular time. But if your identity is in a position, then you want to... Your goals are climbing the ladder of success. And when something happens that maybe it doesn't look like you've done well as a pastor, then you feel like you haven't done well as a person. Yeah. So, when your identity is tied up in your vocation, then anything that bad happens in your vocation, you then begin not to see yourself through Christ's eyes and who you are. You see yourself through the eyes of failure.
And that reminds me of a post. It might have been a podcast, too, that we talked about. Pastors, how they project good and bad sermons onto their self-worth.
Yeah. And I've had enough bad sermons that if I projected that onto my self-worth, I would not be worth much. So I understand that fully.
Number four, highly effective pastors are intentional about personal witnessing.
I've recently begun a journey of looking at churches and what we are doing evangelistically.
Yeah.
I'm doing so because I know that it's not a very healthy scenario in North America.
Well.
We're not doing well. And I'm trying to find out the why behind it. Now, hear me well. I think my theology is right. I understand that the Holy Spirit draws. I understand that it is the role of God to draw men into himself. But churches that have highly effective pastors have those type of pastors that are intentional about personal witnessing. There have been many occasions here where I've given the example, and I don't consider myself the most evangelistic person around, but where I have had to be intentional because I work with Christians at Lifeway. I go home to a Christian wife. When I go out into a speaking context, it's always with Christians. I have to be intentional if I'm going to connect with non-Christians. And so the most effective churches with the most effective pastors are those churches where the pastor is sharing the faith on a regular basis.
Yeah, because the people kind of follow his lead.
Exactly. It would an evangelistic pastor often results in an evangelistic church.
Yeah. And it's very rare that an evangelistic church is a result of a non-evangelistic pastor.
I can name very few
that
example.
Number five. Highly effective pastors have unconditional love of their critics.
This is a tough one. When you are hit with a barb, when you have a verbal jab coming at you, when someone says something negatively about you, for immediate response to love someone but that's been critical is not easy. But this is a case where the most effective pastors have learned if you are in a position of leadership, you will be criticized. If you are not being criticized, you're probably not in a position of leadership. And pastors that understand, and this would go for any leaders, but pastors specifically that understand that criticisms are just part of what we do. Doesn't mean we like it. Doesn't mean that it's something that comes with theological education and training. But if we understand it's just part of life, then we will learn to love our critics and we will learn to pray for them. I honestly cannot love a critic unless I pray for them.
Yeah.
And I have trouble praying for critics. I mean, you remember those words that were said, or you remember that thing that happened. Too many pastors are drained. They walk in fear of critics. But the effective pastors have prayer lives that are interceding for critics.
Yeah.
How do we know that? We've seen effective pastors, and we've asked them to tell us about their prayer life, to tell us how they address critics, and they have shared this with us. So. This is a tough one, but at the same time, it is one that is very real.
Is it more difficult to pray for a critic or to love them without praying for them?
Oh, it's definitely, to me, just to get started praying for them is more difficult. I can love them once I've prayed for them, but I don't know.
I'm saying without praying for them.
Well, if without praying for them, I can't love them.
Pretty straightforward there.
Yeah, I can anyway.
Number six, highly effective pastors have a gentle spirit.
Okay, let's go back to Galatians 5, 22-23, and most people, if you don't immediately know that passage, you'll know it when you hear it. And it begins with these words, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Now, the word "but" there is a contra. It is a transition from the previous, and the previous text is talking about the works of the flesh. It talks about sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, and so on. And then the Apostle Paul, writing to the churches in Galatia, says, but the fruit of the Spirit. Many times we confuse this and say fruits. No, this is singular. This is the fruit. If you are a Spirit-filled person, which means you're letting God control you, you're yielding your life to Him, this is what is going to be manifest in your life. And here's the text, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. We could go for any of these and say effective pastors show and demonstrate all the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit, but the one I hear more and more is gentleness.
Yeah.
They're pastors that were confronted with difficult situations are gentle. Their pastors when from confronted with critics are gentle. Their pastors when confronted with rambunctious church members are gentle. As pastors pray, one of the things I would encourage them to do is to pray again and again for God to control them so that the fruit of the Spirit can be manifest in their life, and to think about that word gentleness. Are you really that type of person that has a calming influence led by God upon others? And that is what the gentle spirit is all about. And gosh, it's tough these days. I'm thinking about Twitter. I'm thinking about Facebook. You know a little bit about social media, blogs. And I have seen it breaks my heart when I go to a Facebook post and I see that someone is attacking a pastor, their own pastor, on Facebook.
Yeah.
And it's out there for the public to see, and it's out there for others to see, I should say. And you know, how does a pastor come back and have a gentle spirit? How does the pastor come back and be someone that is not in a tirade over that? It's probably tougher today, and again, maybe I shouldn't say it's tougher today than in the past, but it seems like it is. It is more difficult in many ways today in the hypercritical social media world where negativity is normative and critical behavior is tolerated more than ever. And so more than ever, for a pastor to have a long-term perspective of ministry, those pastors need to have a gentle spirit. That's a characteristic of an effective pastor.
How do you develop a gentle spirit?
Here's one thing that I've told pastors that I would tell any believer in Christ. If you're not reading the Bible daily, you're headed for trouble because you're not making time for allow God to speak to you. Pray, read the Bible. Pray, read the Bible. And many times when I say something like that, people will say, well, they're pastors. They're in the Bible all the time. Well, they're in the Bible sometimes to prepare their sermons or the next study, but they're not often in the Bible to hear from God personally. And I'm almost fearful of going to sleep at night without having, I have a system where I'm reading, and right now it's a pretty simple one. I'm reading the next chapter, and then the next chapter. I don't even know if I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm in 1 Samuel right now. But sometimes I read 5 chapters, sometimes 10, sometimes only 1. And I feel like that there's a void in my life. It's not a legalistic requirement, but I feel like that there is a void in my life if I had not had my quiet time, my prayer time, and my time in the Word of God. To have a gentle spirit, you have to hear from God. Because what is gentleness? It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. What does that mean? God is controlling you. How does God control you? You listen to Him, and you do what He says.
Final characteristic of highly effective pastors is that they persevere.
You remember our interview with Mike Glenn,
yep.
Episode 100,
where
we celebrated.
We had cake.
Yeah, we had cake and punch and.
Yeah, all kind of stuff. We celebrated.
Some kind of sparkling bubble stuff that was non-alcoholic. Yeah. And
Grape juice,
whatever that was. We had a good time because we celebrated our 100th podcast, and here we are at number 120. Time has flown so quickly. One of the questions that I've asked Mike again and again is, how have you stayed in ministry a quarter of a century at the same church? He says, well, I get up in the morning and I go to work. And then I do it again the next day. Uh-huh. And then I do it again the next day. He said, there's no magic formula to it. I haven't come up with this super way to stay in the pastorate or stay in a particular pastorate for a long time. But highly effective pastors have learned how to hang in there. And one of the ways you hang in there is you have perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You have the perspective that what is happening today that seems so traumatic, so major, in the scope of a year from now, you'll have forgotten about it. I mean, think about us at Lifeway and some of the major issues that I have gone through.
And gone through many.
Well, you've gone through them because you're empathetic for my leadership and for Lifeway. And if I had a little more perspective, I would have said, okay, it's going to be some bumps here, but we'll get through it. As long as you have your integrity, as long as you're not doing anything against biblical truth, you will get through it. And that's the perspective these pastors have. They have tough times. They understand that their numbers are going to be down at times. They understand that they're going to have critics. But they just simply hang in there, and they get up the next morning, and they go and do what God has called them to do. That is the simplicity of perseverance. And so that is a good way to end the 7 characteristics of highly effective pastors. They simply hang in there.
We've talked in the past about the average tenure of a pastor,
mm-hmm.
3.6 years.
3.6, right.
How does that play into this perseverance? Because obviously that is a major issue.
We've also talked about, for most pastors, the greatest fruit of a pastor's ministry begins in year 5.
Yeah.
And so if they're leaving at 3.5 to 3.6 years, then they're obviously not even getting to the greatest fruit of that time. So many pastors are leaving early. They're leaving at the point of crisis, honeymoon's over, bad times are coming through, and they don't have the perspective to see the other side, as difficult as it may be. And as a consequence, they leave too early before the greatest days ever happen.
Would we see greater fruit in our churches if our pastors stayed and persevered longer?
I think so. It's not automatic. Being long tenured does not mean you're automatically going to be effective, but I can say this, the preponderance of short-term pastors certainly means that there are many less effective churches and pastors.
Today's podcast has been sponsored by Vander Lumen Search Group. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Lumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That'll do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Let me close with a review for the listeners, and particularly you pastors, but all of you listeners. Remember what we talked about on the highly effective pastors. On the foundation of Acts 6:4, prayer and the ministry of word, ministry of the word, we said that pastors have genuine enthusiasm, that they are praying to God, that God will drive what they do. They've learned how to listen, secondly. Their identity is not tied up in their vocation. Their identity is tied up in Christ. They are highly intentional about personal evangelism. They've learned how to pray and love their critics, pray for and love their critics. They have stayed in the Word of God and prayed sufficiently where they have a gentle spirit, and they have hung in there. I would encourage you, if you're a pastor, staff person, a leader who is listening to this podcast at this very moment, that you go down that checklist and you say, is there something where I need God's guidance and correction in order to be a more effective leader?
Thanks for joining us today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us online at tomrainer.com.